Welcome to The Virtual Shift, a show looking at the seismic changes happening in healthcare with virtual care at the epicenter. Join me and my guests as we look at key cultural and policy shifts impacting how providers, payers, and patients connect, as well as how care is being reimagined both for today and the future. Hello, and thanks for tuning in today. I'm your host, Tom Foley. You can learn more about this show by visiting the program on healthcarenowradio.com, and be sure to follow me on LinkedIn, Twitter, at FoleyTom. And the hashtag, The Virtual Shift. Today, we have some great guests talking about a very, very important topic, diabetes. And our guests are Stefan Engen. He is the director at ReadyCare. And Andrew Shepherd. He is our clinical lead at ReadyCare. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tom. Delighted to be here.
Thanks so much, Tom. Delighted to be here, too.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about yourselves. And Stefan, I'll start with you.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Stephen Egan. I'm one of the founders and directors of ReadyCare. We are a pure play cardiometabolic disease prevention business using lifestyle therapy, clinically validated lifestyle therapy to treat chronic illnesses such as type 2 diabetes, prediabetes, dyslipidemia, hypertension, obesity, and PCOS. So pure play, all about scaling evidence-based, clinically supported lifestyle therapy for those who suffer from a chronic disease. You know, some few years ago, type 2 diabetes was thought of as a progressive disease, but that's no longer the case. These type of disease states can be brought into remission pretty quickly with validated lifestyle therapy. So I'll just hand it over to Andy.
Thanks, Stephen. Andy, good to see you again, Tom, and nice to be on the show. So I'm the clinical lead for ReadyCare. My background is in human physiology and nutritional science. And like Stephen said, type 2 diabetes in particular and a lot of cardiometabolic issues, including non-alcoholic fatty liver disease and PCOS, were long thought to be chronic progressive disorders that would require lifelong medication. And now we're in an amazing position where we get to wake up and give patients hope that actually they can put their type 2 diabetes into remission on evidence-based validated digital therapeutic programs.
Awesome. And that's what I love about what ReadyCare does is they're shifting the mindset that diabetes is a progressive disease and one that needs to be monitored versus a disease that actually could be placed into remission. And we'll get more into that relative to the clinical studies and the outcomes that you've had. But that is ultimately the shift here, is really changing the mindset of how do we treat these known chronic conditions and put them into, again, remission. And it reminds me, I don't know if the show airs in Europe, but in the U.S. there was a show called The Biggest Loser. And The Biggest Loser was about very heavy set folks that were under the care of providers that ultimately came into a campus, if you will. And over a period of time, they lost weight through diet and good diet and exercise, again, all under physician monitoring. But they used to walk onto the campus with a bag of pills, and they walked off campus with nothing. And that's because they got rid of all of their ills, if you will, through diet and exercise. That was the summary of my experience in watching those shows. So it tells me that through behavioral change, and through with provider monitoring, you can change the outcome of your clinical state. Thoughts, Andy?
Yeah, absolutely true. And what's amazing, Tom, is as we look at patients who are, you know, polypharmacy, multimorbid patients who have, you know, dyslipidemia, PCOS, type 2 diabetes, it's incredible to see some testimonials where patients say, I lost 45 pounds, my PCOS appears to be gone, my type 2 is in remission, I've come off my blood pressure medication, because a lot of these chronic diseases are more prevalent in the Western world and for the most part underpinned by the same pathophysiology, which is hyperglycemia leading to hyperinsulinemia. So they're driven by processed food for the most part. And when you can educate patients and support them and it's referred by a trusted health practitioner, I mean, the results are incredible. So the ability to put these diseases in remission is, it's hugely rewarding and just a great line of work to be in.
Yeah, and diabetes in and of itself is a challenge in the overall health system. It is one of the top three clinical conditions that put the greatest burden on the overall health system relative to the economic impact. In some counts, you know, there's studies that show a $245 billion economic cost, right? And diabetes is not, with all of where we're at, with now health records, if you will, coming off paper into electronic systems and population health and different modification of drugs and things of that nature, we're not getting any better in the context of reducing the impact of diabetes. As a matter of fact, it continues to expand. So it tells me that while there has been some great efforts in the ability to control, to define it and to control it, we're not impacting the society as we should. And so there's some underlying problems that we'll hopefully get into. Stephen, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, the problem continues to get worse despite, advances in drug therapy. And I suppose the key thing here, Tom, is drug therapy only addresses the symptom. It does not address the root cause, which is largely lifestyle. So that is key. So and up until now, physicians did not have validated lifestyle therapeutics with known validity and safety to prescribe to their patients. So companies like Redicare are developing a whole new paradigm of care where when a patient is diagnosed with having prediabetes or diabetes, they're referred to a lifestyle therapy with clinical validation that the physician knows that if they're compliant, the patient can reverse their prediabetes or indeed type 2 diabetes over time using lifestyle as an adjunct to medication or indeed by way of medication elimination in time. So there is a new paradigm of care emerging.
Very, very interesting, very compelling, actually. So Andy, talk to us a little bit more about the clinical side of the equation. What clinical studies have you done? What were the outcomes of those studies to kind of validate the position that Redicare takes?
Sure, yeah. So, I mean, our first real-world study done in back in 2017, actually, we saw, I mean, just remarkable results. I suppose, first of all, to talk about these sort of insulin-resistant conditions, characterized by high blood sugar levels and high levels of insulin, all have a kind of a common root cause, which, again, is dysglycemia or high blood sugar levels. And when you treat them, you tend to see a full sweep of changes across the full cardiometabolic spectrum. So it's not just, like you're saying, Tom, with the guys on Biggest Loser, you'll see weight loss, you'll see their waist circumference go down, their triglycerides get better, their blood pressure gets better, because again, these are all diet-related or lifestyle-related illnesses. And like a very well-respected practitioner in the area says, a doctor who specializes in type 2 and cardiometabolic, it's a lovely saying, type 2 diabetes and insulin-resistant conditions are very interesting in the sense that they're not all that druggable, but are extremely foodable. So by feeding whole food or suggesting educating patients, that's the key word really, is educating patients around food choices. We saw back in 2017 a 48% normalization of HbA1c. So essentially diabetic remission of one in two patients at the 8-week mark in a lower carb whole food dietary protocol that advocated eating more healthy fat and protein, a HbA1c reduction of about 13%, so really significant reduction, bringing almost half of those patients into remission, weight loss of around about 14 or 15 pounds, waist reductions, triglyceride reductions of more than 14%, and blood pressure reductions, which actually were similar to that of mono drug therapy, so a reduction of about 11 millimoles in systolic mercury. So right across the full cardiometabolic spectrum, we see these. And the key driver and the key lever in this is, as our consultant cardiologist says, consultant cardiologist even, Dr. Neil Caldwell says, three components: education, education, and education. If you have the right dietary protocol referred by the right trusted healthcare practitioner, and you get the patient to buy into that, and you give them the resources to implement their newly acquired health literacy, you can do amazing things with health.
And the resources, that is, I think, the underlying challenge, right? You can be diagnosed but and you can prescribe the pill, which doesn't cure the problem, as stated. But if I go home, I have to find a way, right? And all typically, independent of any health system globally, we have this this fusion that needs to take place. We have this delivery of care model. We have social determinants of health, and we have lifestyle. Those three have to be fused in order for an outcome to happen. And at the end of the day, a doctor, with all due respect to the great minds of physicians, because I always think that they are the smartest people in the room, the point there being is they can only advise. They can say, this is what you need, this is what you have, and this is your pathway forward. At the end of the day, to your point, is that the patient has been educated to some degree at that point. So the awareness is there. The question is, how do I get to awareness to wellness, right? And so education is a continuous thing, and even the delivery of care model has to be continuous, in that I left the brick and mortar, which I'm probably not going to go back to for another 30, 60, 90 days. And so that's a lot of time to be in the home by yourself, if you will, trying to find a way, struggling to find a way to get the right food on the table, right? And for me to consume it and do that consistently over time. Steve, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, we put a lot of thought and effort into that continuum of care. So the physician typically says to the patient, you've got type 2 diabetes, and he or she says she should eat less and walk more. And that lifestyle advice might be 30 seconds of that consultation. In a ReadyCare paradigm, the patient onboards onto our platform. They consume video-based education that really educates them. Think Netflix for chronic disease, okay? So they get an understanding of how they became type 2 diabetic, what foods made them type 2 diabetic, and then they understand the reasons why. Then we educate them on what type of food choices, i.e. lower in processed foods, processed carbohydrates, can make a profound difference to their blood glucose levels. And we educate, we provide consultations with them. So there's a continuum of care in the home where the patient self-manages, self-treats, and they typically go back to their physician 16 weeks later to check their HbA1c. All of the care happens and the treatment happens in the home, managed by the patient.
A home is certainly the setting of care, in my opinion. And so patients, again, I want to bring in the social determinants element of it. In the U.S., I'm struggling here because I just want to get it right. In the U.S., we have large communities, and I'll speak to the African-American community, the Black community, particularly, where they have such an inordinate disparity in the development of diabetes and hypertension and other chronic conditions much more than any other community. So and a lot of that has to do because it's an underserved community. So getting the right diet in front of them is a challenge. And getting the right exercise, getting them on an exercise regimen is a challenge. And so there's more to it than just the program. The program has to be all encompassing about the entire person. Again, it's about the clinical care model. It's about the understanding the true social determinants and the lifestyle, and how do we get them access not only to care, but to food and exercise. Andy, thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Even if we look at the total per capita healthcare expenditures, they tend to be higher for Hispanics, African-Americans. You're talking kind of anywhere between $8,000 and $10,000 more in terms of cost. So there is a clear uptick in the prevalence of type 2 diabetes and a more of a need for the management of it. And there certainly needs to be a quality of care provision for those kind of socioeconomic demographics. So I think the key thing here is something that can scale, that's ideally at an affordable cost, or better again, that's reimbursed. by the state, so that we have a quality of care across all of those kind of socioeconomic demographics.
So, you know, in the U.S., we have these models referred to as remote patient monitoring, reimbursed by Medicare, remote therapeutic monitoring, which is the monitoring of non-physiological data, and chronic care management. To me, it's not just about remote patient monitoring, because remote patient monitoring is about the pill. It monitors the symptoms and the stability, but it doesn't really cure anything, right? It's when you fuse those programs together that ultimately the patient becomes, you start to address the needs of the patient. Stefan, your thoughts?
Absolutely correct, Tom. If you think of a world where you have remote patient monitoring and you add lifestyle therapeutics in parallel with that, the patient is educated. We're monitoring the patient's blood glucose levels, potentially weight. Okay. As a consultation is done through the process, in terms of remote patient monitoring, the whole dietary lifestyle is reinforced at every touch point with the patient. And that process continues pretty much in perpetuity until such time as that patient is under control and biomarkers improve remarkably. And that circles the circle of care with the physician, remote patient monitoring, and the patient. So it's happening at home, and there's an integrated approach from lifestyle therapeutics all the way in conjunction with monitoring. I think it's this type of treatment protocol combining both is highly optimal.
So how do we further shift the model, right? It sounds like ReadyCare has the right therapeutic lifestyle therapeutic program in place. It's been clinically proven through clinical studies, and certainly it is, those patients that are enrolled are gaining the benefit. But how do we scale that? How do we raise the awareness of the program and further scale it? Because it seems like it's unique in and of itself because of the results that it's had. It's I'm just struggling here in how do we have a good program here. It's demonstrated to produce results, but yet we don't have. Let me ask a different question. Is it the health system or the delivery of care model that is an inhibitor towards the adoption of such a validated program?
One of the key things that needs to be done is physicians need to be educated around the power. It needs to be offered as part of solution to remote care monitoring solutions on an integrated approach. So I think this is a new paradigm, an emerging paradigm of care. So I think a lot to do with the education of physicians and healthcare professionals. We're doing a lot of work on that in terms of building CPD educational modules to assist that. And I think there's just an education process that needs to be done in terms of communication. I think also perhaps payment for outcomes, that's going to help as well, that the physicians and allied healthcare professionals like ourselves are motivated and remunerated and reimbursed based on clinical outcomes. I think that would be a positive step in terms of scaling this up, where you can show economic benefits.
Andy, anything to add to that?
No, couldn't agree more with what Stephen has said. I mean, I think the education of clinicians is the important thing, because often we look to doctors and think, you know, does the doctor know about the kind of evidence-based digital therapeutic or lifestyle treatment of diabetes? But a doctor has to know a lot about, and we huge respect for doctors. They have to know a lot about lots of different things, you know, hence general practitioner. The latest cutting edge science and nutritional protocol for the reversal of type 2 diabetes mightn't be on their agenda. These are people who have 6 to 8 minutes of a consult. So being able to educate and bring awareness and even, like Stephen was saying, develop continuous professional developments courses around metabolic health and the potential ability to refer to a digital therapeutic as an adjunct to primary care, I think is hugely powerful.
We talk about education of the physician. I would imagine you would also want to include a broader education of the community at large in the context of, hey, diabetes is not a progressive disease. It is actually something that you can put in remission. So stop with the, you know, the escalation of the finger prick to the continuous care monitoring, to the pump that gets put on the belly, right? That is a progressive development, but that doesn't have to happen, right? Because it's not just about measuring, making sure your A1C is in a certain level, right? Yes, so you can adjust your pump up and down, right? It's a matter of what are you willing to do, changing your behavior, changing your lifestyle in order to gain a better outcome. To me, I hear you and I agree with you that the physicians, there's a role here for the physicians to be better educated. But it seems like anything that needs to happen in healthcare relative to bending any curve, the consumer's mind needs to be reshaped and reformed in the context of how do we ultimately, if we want healthcare reform, what do we need to do in order to reform it? Because it's not about how much you get reimbursed or what your copay is. It's about what you do in your home relative to whether or not you're going to have greater outcomes. Thoughts on that, Stephen?
Yeah, I think there needs to be a lot of communication around that at consumer level and at media level, for sure. People need to understand that these type of diseases are manageable. They can significantly reduce and get their type 2 diabetes into remission, but that messaging and communication needs to be out there and very prevalent.
So we only have a couple minutes left here. So how do people get in touch with ReadyCare? I believe your website is www.readycare.com. ReadyCare.
And we've a new website launch called controldtx.com, Tom, to speak to our international audience. We currently operate out of Ireland, UK, Canada, and the States. So controldtx.com is our new corporate website. So love to hear from or meet anybody that might have some queries around what we're doing.
Awesome. So in closing, they know how to get you. You can actually find Stephen Egan on LinkedIn. You can find Andrew Shepherd as well on LinkedIn if you want to reach out to them directly. Any closing remarks? Andy, I'll start with you.
No, delighted to be here. And I mean, this is what we do as a company. It's amazing to wake up and be able to inspire patients and let them know that type 2 diabetes is not necessarily a chronic progressive disorder. High blood pressure, PCOS, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, all of these are disease states that can be put into remission with a clinically validated digital therapeutic. So it's a lovely space to be in.
Yeah, we're on a mission to bend the curve on chronic disease. And I think a huge role, part of how we're going to do that, is deep partnerships with primary care physicians where we connect and close the circle of care. And it's eminently achievable and it can be done at tremendous scale in large populations and even in socially deprived populations. Education, support, and closing the loop of care.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think ReadyCare is definitely bending that curve and shifting the mindsets of both physicians and the consumers. And the more that we can address this issue head on and change the mindset that it is a disease state that can be put into remission, I think it just changes the whole terms and conditions, if you will, on how do I get to from awareness to wellness. And it all starts with the physician as well as the patient collaborating on a path on how do I get from this awareness to wellness state. So I want to thank each of you for your time and your subject matter expertise in this space. And I wish ReadyCare all the best in what they are doing.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Great to be here. Thanks a million. Thanks for having us.
I want to thank the show sponsors, HP. HP Engage Long Lifecycle Products provides the stability, safety, and security you need, plus flexibility and performance designed for today and tomorrow. As well, GenieMD, providing a modular, scalable, and customizable virtual care platform and clinical services to help providers extend care into the home, increasing access and quality while driving new revenue opportunities. If you missed part of today's episode, you can tune in at the same time, 11 a.m. or 7 p.m. Eastern, throughout the week, and be sure to check out the program page on healthcarenowradio.com. And remember, connect or follow me on LinkedIn, Twitter, at Foley Tom, and follow the show's hashtag, The Virtual Shift. I'm Tom Foley. Until the next shift.